welcome to a Monday Sports Line, the Bulldog Hour. Kevin Gonzo alongside. We'll take it to one. That's an adjustment. And then it will be Paul and Phil and Gonzo all the way to 4 o'clock. Paul is live right now at Table Mountain. And I think most of you know by now, it's media day for Fresno State. Started this morning. A lot of players coming aboard in the afternoon. And so those three gentlemen will take you up to the Giant pregame at actually 4:10 today. And then we're back to normal tomorrow. I'll get Paul on air in just a second. Garrett Classy is scheduled to stop by a little bit later in the hour. So this will be kind of a normal Bulldog Hour. And then the 3 hours that follow will certainly have a lot of the players and all the availability there at Table Mountain. If you can stop by, please do so. As always, I want to remind you about our good buddies and sponsors as we start things off, and that would be Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering, forging the time every day to tell you about the upcoming schedule. Planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management, it's all there under one roof. More information, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net. When we go over the schedules, I'll tell you all about the great fundraising that Ed does through the Lyles College of Engineering there on campus to benefit Fresno State. And I'll tell you about 1430 and 790 schedules beyond today as well. The Giants and A's both in action, not against one another. That would be quite a matchup the way things are going, by the way. But both teams are playing different clubs. I'll tell you about that a little bit later on. Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, forging the time to tell you how to donate to Fresno State. We'll get to Joe in just a second. But first, our good pals at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing every day afford me the time to tell you about the weather. Terrific local people. They've been in NorCal and Central California since 1981. You see the avocado green and blue trucks all over the place. I've had them to do work even during COVID. Really professional people, very timely. Anything you need, Central Air Plumbing, Heating, or Roofing, give me a call. Give me a call at 825-5337 or on the web at leesair.com. They also sponsor the Lee's Air Hotline, and mark that down. That's how you can reach Gonzo in the morning and Phil in the afternoon. 559-320-1430. That is the Lee's Air Hotline. As far as forecast goes, it's pretty seasonal right now. Maybe a degree or two warmer than normal, but pretty close to the norm. 100 today, 100 tomorrow, 102 Wednesday, 101 Thursday, and then we go 102, 103, 104. That's an ugly escalation if it were to continue on to be 115 degrees in a couple of weeks. I think it hits the brakes Sunday with 104. The lows in the 70s, the winds around 10 to 15 miles an hour. The only proviso, there is another tropical storm way out in the Pacific. It's not going to bring rain to us. It might to the mountains and maybe to the central coast, but what it could bring us is more mugginess, which is what we had for a while last week, and we may have tomorrow and Wednesday, and that's a never, never nice proposition. We don't like mugginess out here. That's for the Midwest and the South, but you'll deal with it if you're out in the pool, of course, or anywhere by the waterways. Please be very, very careful. Anyway, thanks everybody at Lee's for allowing us the time again to tell you about the weather. Lee'sair.com, 825-5337, 825-Lee's. Now, the final reminder from our good friend Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, allows me the time to tell you how to donate to Fresno State every day. Joe has been in business now for 26 years, a benefactor at Fresno State for over three decades. You can stop by and see him at 4529 North Marty Avenue, Town Suite 103, or give him a call at 266-7473, which is 266-PIPE, or on the web, superiorpipeusa.com, or Gabe, who works for Joe, has a direct email, gabe.sbs@gmail.com. Pipe fittings, valves, sanitary fittings, food-grade chemical hoses, suction hoses, it's all there. If you're someone who works around a plant, if you're a maintenance person, someone around a chemical plant, for instance, maybe a tanker delivery service operator, maybe a dairy operator, anybody who relies upon a valve, if that valve goes down, your business can take a catastrophic hit. One of the great aspects of Joe's business, not only the personalized service, but the same-day estimates, and he'll get right to any problem you might have. It's a small problem, they'll take care of it immediately. It's a major undertaking, they'll be right on it and get you back up and running as soon as possible. And as we've talked about this, if for some reason you have a problem that appears to be not that big a deal, don't wait on it. Because if you do, it can take that catastrophic turn. All it takes is a valve or two going down, and suddenly your business is zero, which means your bottom line takes the big hit. Personalized service is what makes this such a terrific business. It's family friendly, face to face, and after Joe is done addressing your issues, if you have a few minutes, he will tell you what he has done to benefit Fresno State, and we'll tell you right now the best avenue, go to the main website at GoBulldogs.com. There's a donate link there. Click on that. It'll take you to different areas of potential donation. BDF, BulldogFoundation.org is there. Club Red for former student-athletes to get involved is under that header. The major giving societies have their link, meaning the Green Bee Society, the Myers Champion Circle. Then under ways to give, you have Valley Co-op, which is the matching funds entity. Valley Fueled is there. And sports clubs, where your money goes directly to a given sport. For instance, quarterback club for football, timeout club for men's basketball. Jack Ferdy with me every week to talk basketball. Board of directors, timeout club. They'd love to have more members. Jack has said, give them a call, 559-287-3305 or FerdyJack@AOL.com for more information. There are links for other men's and women's sports there as well under sports clubs. And again, keep this in mind. Your money going directly to that sport will benefit the team, but it also benefits you because these are great social organizations. You not only hear some inside information in the meetings, but you get to know a lot of people you might not have known before. So for a nominal cost, you can really get involved in any sport you choose at Fresno State. And then finally, the singular header more is there for just that, more information for tickets and events on campus. The final reminder before I meet Paul up, Bulldog Sports Enterprises, the partnership between Fresno State and 1430, 790 Chris, the entire gang, very, very important. If you want to get involved, 1430ESPNFresno.com or contact the university. This is the best way right now in this unique partnership, local to local, to try to drive revenue forward in a day and age where revenue is absolutely everything, as we've talked about seemingly every day now. And NIL and transfer portal kicked in. Bulldog Sports Enterprises, check that out if you possibly can and you want to get involved. It's a really good way to help out Fresno State. Anyway, thanks to Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply. Thanks to Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering. And thanks to our friends at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. And right now on that Lee's Air hotline, 559-320-1430. It's our longtime friend, longtime voice of Bulldogs. It is Paul Leffler. Paul, how you doing?
Glad to be with you, Tony. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Paul, by the way, is at Table Mountain, unless you wonder. Paul, let's get started right away on what you have seen so far today. It was, what, coaches this morning, is that right?
Coaches are here, yeah. Nick Benedetto, Josh Davis, the coordinators, and, of course, Coach Matt Entz, who listeners can hear with us at about 2:45. We'll listen to that interview, but we're going to have players live with us from 1 o'clock all the way to 4 o'clock, with the exception of that little break to hear from Coach Entz. Loved catching up with Coach Davis and Coach Benedetto as well. You know, one of the highlights really from Coach Davis's comments was to hear him say about the quarterback situation, that they're so high on both Christian Martin and Jaden Mandel that his quote was, I believe we can win a championship with either one. So that quarterback competition is going to be fun in the fall, but coaching staff very high on both young men. Obviously, there's a lot of buzz about the defense, and that season opener at USC is something all these players and coaches are pretty pumped up about, not to mention the Red Wave.
You know, we've talked about this, Paul, the SC game, which is on Big Fox, of course, for us on now Friday night, the 4th of September. I think people know it was originally Saturday, September 5 game. But the early start for the Bulldogs was supposed to be the early start, meaning the first game of the year for SC. They had the late ad against San Jose State. That game is on Big NBC the week prior. I want to ask you, Paul, it's a good opportunity to see what the Trojans have to offer and an easy way to do it on commercial television. That's always a good idea. Is it to USC's advantage? Is it to Fresno State's advantage? Is it nominal either way? How do you feel about the fact that SC now has a game in front? I guess the good news for the Trojans, they get some of the kinks ironed out. The bad news is the Bulldogs can see them for four quarters. How do you view this?
Yeah, I think that's the trade-off, right? Yeah, do you get your feet wet, get a feel for, you know, a new team? Yes, but the Bulldogs will have the film that the Trojans will not have, and it's been entertaining this week seeing some of the social media postings in response and the irony with USC posting about the new film, The Odyssey, and all the implications of that. But one guy who I know is very excited about that opportunity in the Coliseum, Matt Entz, for one. We'll talk to him about that a little later on. But the athletic director, Garrett Classy, is joining us now. And I'm trying to – I haven't studied all Garrett's stops and who played who when. But, Garrett, have you been to a game at the L.A. Coliseum before?
Yes, yes. And I believe during my time at Oregon, I have a winning record at the Coliseum.
Of course. Of course.
It was during some very good years. Because my first year at Oregon, I believe, was Reggie Bush's and Matt Leinart's last year. So that game didn't go very well. I was close. But then towards the Chip Kelly years, we fared quite well in the Coliseum.
Well, the Bulldogs had a memorable game that year, actually, in Eugene and at the Coliseum.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure Pat Hill has bent your ear about both of those.
Yeah.
Valley fans, you know, some of the Bulldog fans remember way back 1961 in the Mercy Bowl at the Coliseum.
Yep.
Against Bowling Green. There's a plaque in the Coliseum that still commemorates. Tony, something tells me you remember 1984 and Rafer Johnson running up those stairs to light the torch, huh?
I do, and I also unfortunately remember 1961. I happened to be there as a very, very, let's make this clear, very, very, very young boy, all right? Hardly can remember it, Paul, but I was actually there at that game. But thanks for cushioning the blow by talking about 1984. A lot easier to talk about that.
And am I making an introduction here? Garrett, have you been on with the longest-serving Fresno sports talk host in history?
I have not.
Before?
It's an honor. Great to be on with you.
A lot of guys have been on Tony's show without ever meeting him, but now you're meeting him this way.
Well,
I don't know. I must have made him mad. He's never asked me to be on.
I think it might have been the flagship issue. I was waiting for that special moment, Garrett. I wanted to be special for both of us. So,
all right. I love it. Well, Paul's talked about you a long time. You've always been special.
Well, I appreciate that a great deal, and many things that Paul says about me are not true. Just take the good ones. And just that. But I know you've answered a million questions already in the time you've been here about stadium renovation versus new stadium,
sure,
about rights fees, about conference realignment, and I'll, of course, ask you about all of that. But I'm going to ask you a question that I'm going to bet you have not been asked yet, and there's a good reason for it.
Oh, okay.
And that is,
okay,
with the production facilities being in San Ramon and Fresno State being only 2.5 hours away by car, and everybody else in the conference being 8 to 10 hours minimum away, is this the first ever home field advantage for a production company entity in a university? And can Fresno State somehow exploit that to their advantage, Garrett? How's that for a question?
Tony, I love it. And I haven't been asked that today. I've been asked before. And I do, not just selfishly that I actually get to drive to the league meetings and I don't have to fly like everyone else, but also from a production standpoint. You know, we're big believers that content is king. And the more compelling content that we can create, the better it is for our fan base to bring engagement to the university and not just the athletic department. And the reality is obviously at the conference level, Pac-12 Enterprises has been established for a long time. They have higher quality, not just facilities, but actually technology than we do. And we talked about how do we load up a bus once a month and bring the coaches and student athletes and film and create content over there. And we do have open reins to do that. And I hope to use it so much that they have to create a rule against us in the league that we're using it too much and we have a competitive advantage. But we're going to use it until they tell us no.
Well, I'll tell you what, the thing, and Paul's well aware of this, that I love is the remote mix aspect, which is where the announcers are able to stay in one place while the production itself is sent back to the studio. And I take advantage of that a lot. I'm also aware of it.
Yeah.
And I know for the production aspect itself, Garrett, it's a tremendous advantage because it holds overhead down. It also means a lot of announcers can use the day to do multiple games. And as I look at the bottom line, and I know that Teresa Gould has said she doesn't want to disclose the media rights specifically, but do you have a firm handle on what the actual production itself means to the bottom line of each school? Is that something to be determined, or can you look at it and say, without question, this is going to be, because of other productions beyond the conference, a tremendous money maker for every school beyond the media rights.
Well, it's twofold. It's how did the ability to produce our own events help with our current TV deal with the Pac-12 conference members? And then the other piece is that they have the capabilities of producing upwards of 2,000 events every single year. And so since we've been in the league, I'm at the liberty to say who those partnerships are with, but they've contracted other schools seven-figure deals to really help produce their events there locally at Pac-12 Networks. So that is going to help our bottom line. And that's going to help the rights fee. And that was one of the critical reasons that not just Fresno State, but many of the Mountain West Five that left to go into the Pac-12 wanted to be in that league, because the capabilities that, Pac-12 Enterprises would give us. And that isn't happening by just hoping and dreaming. It's going to take a lot of hard work. But Mark Molinari was with the legacy Pac-12, and he's worked in television for a long time. And they've been creating new partnerships. Almost every week we get updates, and it's pretty incredible. And so I don't know what that final bottom line is yet, but I do know that that's going to be a key piece of our revenue generation moving forward, is using Pac-12 Enterprises to create revenue opportunities for the league.
Garrett, obviously last year was a real successful year for Coach Entz, you know, winning 9 games out of the gate last year in the Mountain West. You're making this transition to the new league. What are the things you're looking forward to? I've heard from some of the fans on what they're excited about, but what are the things you're looking forward to, and are there some maybe items, criteria that you're watching that you think will make a big difference between success and not as much success as you'd like?
Yeah, I mean, I've talked about this a couple times today. We have to make sure that the resources for each of our programs matches the expectations we have. And I think that's one of the things that's critical, is that I don't know if the Red Wave fully understands. And we're trying to fund everything at a very high level. And President Jimenez Sandoval has been very supportive. We need to make sure that we're leaning into all of our revenue sources. And for us to compete and not just show up in the Pac-12, we need to boost that. And we're going to announce a record fundraising year this week. But that's part of the reasons that we've made the move to Bulldog Sports Enterprises. I think the largest upside that we have revenue-wise is going to be on the corporate partnership side. And you're going to see a huge lift this year. And there's premium assets that we're selling that we hopefully will have an exciting announcement on soon. And then from the philanthropic side, and then obviously the special events piece. So those are areas that we need to make up some ground on our competitors. But we have an advantage in our league just because of where we're situated, in a region of 3 million people. We're not competing against professional sports franchises. Everyone's a bulldog in this region, and so we need to be a better job at that. And that's why I love having this Media Day local, because if you look around the room here, you have media from Turlock, Stockton, Bakersfield, Hanford here, that would not make the trek to Las Vegas for Media Day. And so for us to be who we already know we're a national brand, we already know we're a global brand, but we need to do a better job building a fence around this region, this valley, because we are the premier brand. But we can't just rest on our laurels and pretend that it's going to always be there. We need to be able to get tell our story, and having that media here helps us a lot. And so I'm not sure that's what you're getting at, but the revenue piece is going to be key. And then I think the exposure piece is the other piece. Like, finally partnering with a league and a TV contract network that matches the ambitions of this university. I don't think we fully understand how being in at least 60 million homes for every football game, no streaming, everything on linear television, having men's basketball games on at least a dozen national TV games this year, women's basketball on half a dozen national television games, what that has done to help Chris Pacheco, Ryan O'Rourke, and the BSE team go out there and sell corporate sponsorships. And that doesn't mean 60 million people are going to be watching our games, but the exposure it brings to this university to help boost enrollment. Enrollment's already growing at Fresno State, but to help us retain those kids and help our retention rates and grow the application group, the type of kid that applies to come to Fresno State. It's not just a boon for athletics. It's a boon for the entire university.
Tony, I didn't mean to step on you there. Do you have one more question for Garrett?
Yeah, Garrett, I wanted to ask you, because I grew up with the Pac-8. Matter of fact, we didn't even call it. Officially, it wasn't the Pac-8, but it was called the Pac-8 all the way until 1968 when they got the formal name. But it was always, for us, the two Oregon schools, the two Washington schools, and the four California schools. So I have no problem with an 8-team conference. But we get a lot of questions right now about expansion at least to 9 in football. I know every time you expand, Garrett, it causes the divvying up of the pie. But are you comfortable at 8, or would you like to see 9 before the new contracts arrive at the start of the 2030s?
Yeah, I think there's consensus in the room that we'd love to get to 9, but we also know that we need to have someone that's additive to this league, someone that's going to help the TV value, and we have to be really smart how we go about this. And, you know, year one will show how the flex scheduling in the last week of the regular season goes. I think it's going to help us immensely. I think it's going to be able to help our number one team in the league, protect them getting into the CFP. I also think it's going to help get some teams eligible for bowl games that may only have 5 wins. So we're excited about that. But the reality is, I think all of us, and I think maybe the athletic directors think a little bit differently than the head coaches. I don't think the head coaches like having to play one team twice. But us as ADs, we have to be smart. And we're not the Big Ten. We're not the SEC. Every penny we have is valuable, and we have to invest those dollars in the right places if we want to be able to grow and catch up to the ACC and the Big 12, and that's what we intend on doing. So, sure, would we love to be at 9? Yes, but there's no one additive at this point to where we're going to go out there and just try to land grab just to make sure we get to 9.
So I've got one more question for you, Garrett, before we let you grab your lunch over there. Oh, go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, just one thing very quickly. Garrett, I appreciate the time. I'm hoping on a regular basis, maybe every other month or something, you can jump aboard in the 2 o'clock show with me and just go over some of the emails I get. If that works for you, I'd really appreciate it. So,
We'd love to. Absolutely. Anytime.
Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Sure. Go ahead, Paul.
Because he doesn't get enough emails himself, Tony.
I would imagine. I'm sure he's looking at that.
I answer as many as I can. As many as I can.
Thanks. Yeah.
People care. That's a good problem to have.
Isn't that the best problem to have? And speaking of, people listening to this care about Bulldog football, and it's football media day. So 6 home games, maybe a chance at a conference championship game, but 6 home games. What do you hope they experience that's going to be a cut above what they've experienced in the past? Because I know, you know, we're not to a new stadium or a renovated stadium yet. You've gone on the record on how you feel about that and the order that needs to go in. But for this year, what are some of the little things that you hope make a big difference for that fan experience?
Yeah, we're billing the summer of transformation. You're going to see announcements come out every week this summer. In fact, I think one maybe came out a half an hour ago on who's going in the Ring of Honor. But one a little bit further than that is the in-game experience. I think that's the cool thing about switching to Bulldog Sports Enterprises is that when you work for these large corporations, there's always a percentage that you only can put back into the activation of a partnership. Well, knowing how Chris Pacheco's all Bulldog, he wants to make sure that the fans have a better experience. And we're collaborating on ideas. And you're going to see a lot of things, not just a fresh coat of paint, but from the sound system to Bulldog Boulevard. I mean, we've always billed ourselves as the biggest party in the Valley. This is going to be the biggest party in the Valley on steroids. And a lot of the end game. We're investing heavily into the end game, the concessions. You know, Chris is going to die trying to get people into their seats by kickoff. And he's taken on himself personally. So I hope the fans do recognize the hard work and the financial resources we're putting into improving the fan experience. Obviously, we need to balance that with putting a winning football team on the field because that's A1. But improving the fan experience is number 2, and we're investing heavily in both those. So I would say stay tuned because there's a lot of exciting announcements that we have planned for the rest of the summer.
And for people who haven't heard yet, do you want to break that news about the Ring of Honor?
Has it been launched?
I haven't been checking my phone.
Okay, well, it is. We're excited to announce that Logan Mankins will be coming back for the Boise State home game to put his name up in the Ring of Honor. Well-deserved, and, you know, it's been a pleasure. Coach Hill introduced me to Logan, a year and a half ago, and I flew out last September to go see him in North Attleboro, Massachusetts, and spend some time with him. And what a great individual. Talking about a gentleman that loves his place to no end, the passion in his voice. This is a gentleman that we can't wait to get back here. And I'm glad that it's happening, and I think our fan base should really come out and support him against Boise State. Multiple reasons against Boise State, but for Logan coming back, we're going to have a great celebration, one that Logan deserves.
Better get the tailors working on that red jacket now because those are some really big shoulders. Logan's
well, Pacheco's the one that's been helping us because I don't know if my guy makes one that big. Yeah, those are some broad shoulders right there, man. He looks like he could still play today.
Oh, no doubt. He played in the Super Bowl with a torn ACL. I'm pretty sure he could pull it off. Well, that's exciting news. October 10th, Boise State, Ring of Honor, Logan Mankins. Garrett, thanks for the time, and look forward to a real special 2026.
It's going to be a fun one. Thanks, Paul. And as always, go Dogs.
And Tony, he told you he'd be hanging out with you, so you guys will get to know each other a little better.
Well, I appreciate you know, that, Paul. It's a good way to take emails from the general public and go ahead, like you said, as if he doesn't have enough already, and get some from the fan base that is always contacting me, as you're well aware. Paul, I want to ask a couple things here. One of them about what Sankey has said now and what your take, because Greg Sankey, I think are aware by now, the commissioner of the SEC, is making it relatively clear and has for a while of two things. One, as opposed to every other P4, or really every other G6 now conference, they don't like the idea of the 2014 playoff yet. They want the 16 team. That's one issue. But the other, Paul, is the less than thinly veiled threat that if they don't get codification of some sort of agreement that is national to oversee collegiate athletics with the Fairness and Save College Sports Act, that they will consider breaking away. Do you consider that a legitimate threat? And how in the world can they break away by themselves? So is it without saying that the Big Ten must be implicitly along for the ride if that's the case, but they just don't want to say anything in the Big Ten right now?
Yeah, I think, I mean, the reason it's a legitimate threat is who's going to stop them? I mean, that's the question.
Well,
if they try to do
true.
It, who's really going to stop them? And that's where the power is. That's where the power has existed. That would be a bold move. I hope it doesn't happen, but it wouldn't surprise me at any point. And that's unfortunate, right, that it's taken this long to realize that there really isn't anyone in control at the highest level. And the fox has been guarding the hen house. So how do you fix that? It'll be interesting to see if anyone comes up with a way to do that, because so far no one's come close.
Well, we know this, that whether the expansion is to 16 or 24, and the deadline for 2027 is December 1, it's highly unlikely, Paul, that the group of six right now is going to see a second guaranteed berth. Are you worried at all that even that one guaranteed berth could be eroded here, or is that an overreaction?
I don't think we're at that point yet, but it could become that. If people aren't paying attention and aren't careful, because certainly the powers that be would lose no sleep over eliminating that access and creating a completely separate tier. You've already heard them advocate for that. And frankly, there are some people outside the autonomous conferences who advocate for that. So, no, I mean, that's not outside the realm of possibility. And everything I've heard from fans, I mean, there's an occasional fan who says, yeah, maybe it'd be good if we had a completely separate tier that you had a more legitimate chance of competing for a national championship. But most fans, the vast majority of fans I've heard from over the years, they love the opportunity of upset. They want to be at the same level as USC, who the Dogs will have a chance to knock off in that season opener September 4th. That's what people that I talk to want. And maybe there'll be a point where that changes if the you know, catastrophic chasm grows even wider and people see more of that stark contrast and realize what a competitive disadvantage these schools are at financially. Maybe more people would change their mind, but from everything I can tell, people still want to keep that dream alive of doing the unthinkable, like we saw on the diamond in 2008, right? I mean, that's one of those ultimate stories that gives you hope. And unfortunately, things have changed since then to make those kind of stories even more unlikely. But that doesn't mean the pendulum can't swing back at some point if you stay within range. And I think that's what it's about right now. And that's what this move to the Pac-12 is about, staying within striking distance, being closer to that dream, and ultimately being in position to be one of those programs that could be elevated the next time that window opens. Because there have been a couple windows, as Pat Hill forecasted, you know, 30 years ago, there have been a couple windows that maybe had Fresno State been properly positioned, the Bulldogs could have snuck through. That hasn't happened. And hopefully the next time one of those windows cracks open, the Bulldogs are ready to jump through.
Well, the possibility that it may be a football-only breakaway, is that logistically practical? Because what you're bringing up about baseball, certainly it applies to basketball. We've seen teams from the group of five at that point, group of six now, mid-major designation in basketball, find themselves into a Final Four, et cetera. Teams like Butler come within a shot rimming out of being able to get it done. Is it viable that you could see a football-only breakaway, or does that become untenable? Does it have to be, as Nick Saban has said, that at some point the power guys, whether it's just two conferences, are just going to have to play one another in all sports, and it brings up that interesting quandary Furry brought up. When you do that, you have schools that are used to winning. Mandatorily, somebody is going to have to lose, right? So teams that are saying a bad year is 10-3 or whatever, they're not going to have other schools to beat up on. They're going to be quality programs that are under 500. Is it workable football only, or is not the case there as that kind of scenario unfolds?
Well, I think you hit on a good point. You know, the group of five or six schools have been part of the diet of the big boys.
Yes.
And where does the food supply come from? If you have to cannibalize each other, how sustainable is that across the board? And then they might start to see the perspective that the Bulldog fans have had for so long. So I don't know the answer to that question. I wouldn't be shocked if it comes to that. I think because of the realignment going so far against what makes geographical sense, there's a louder drumbeat for football separating itself, and that may be what ends up happening. But I think a lot is still to be decided. Certainly, as you've hit on before, that next real big football contract, TV contract opening in 2031 is probably the next time we'll see real significant movement.
Garrett brought up what we have discussed before, Paul. You have an 8-team conference, but you also have three noted national over-the-air broadcast entities behind you. This is a unique situation where there isn't going to be bad or secondary coverage of your conference. Does it discourage then a breakneck pace to expand beyond a 9th school? I mean, are you one of those saying, you know what, if we're going to fill it to 12, the blessing we have is we got to start over again, which is never easy. University presidents don't like to break those relationships. Oregon State and Washington State were left behind, so they became the inviters, everybody else the invitees. Are you one that would say, you know what, we've got national coverage like this. Beyond 9, we don't need to be in a hurry, or do you want to see a 12-team conference football-wise in a pretty short order?
Well, I think the key is what you just heard the athletic director, Garrett Classy, cite, that, you know, would you like to have 9 teams for now so no one's playing each other a second time? Absolutely. But do you want it so badly that you're willing to take a team that's a drain instead of an addition? And the answer clearly has been no. That's the consensus of the presidents and the athletic directors that currently make up this conference. So the right teams have to be available. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense. And when might those teams be available? Why might they be available? Could you generate enough momentum and credibility as a rebuilt conference this year to make it attractive enough for some other teams who would add to the conference to want to jump from their current home? Potentially, but time will tell on that. I think the answer to your question is an answer that nobody currently knows. It's something that has to unfold over time, and there are so many variables. I think the key that every school is focused on, and Fresno State chief among them, is how do we put ourselves in a position to be the most attractive team when there's an opportunity to be selected. So there are some other teams outside the Pac-12 right now who are thinking the same way, and that if the Pac-12 becomes an upgrade for them, all of a sudden that expansion becomes a lot more realistic.
A couple minutes ago on this show, and then Paul and Gonzo and Phil will have players for you all the way to 4:10 today, so stay tuned for that. One thing, Paul, I did want to ask you about, and it has to do with the relationship of Cal and Stanford to Fresno State. And Joaquin, our pal from Bartlier, had emailed in and had asked, since I had said over and over again the Bulldogs would never be part of the Pac-12 as long as Cal and Stanford had a say. And I stand by that comment because the Bulldogs enter the Pac-12, a radically different Pac-12, without Cal and Stanford around. It was a very near thing. We've talked about it over and over again. If NC State wouldn't have flipped their vote against the wishes, by the way, of the University of North Carolina, which rarely happens back there, incidentally. Normally, NC State follows UNC's lead. Had they not flipped their vote, Cal and Stanford would have been all dressed up with nowhere to go. Ended up with two in the ACC. What Joaquin wants to know is if the role reversal takes place, and if Cal in particular is forced as a state school, maybe a UC system, but a state-funded school to come back, should a Fresno State fall? Once again, as we've asked, welcome Cal with open arms, or is it payback as a you-know-what? I mean, how would you feel about that? You'd be a singular vote, but would you say bygones be bygones, or would you say the shoe was on the other foot and we have a whole different perspective now?
Well, I think you have to be smarter than letting petty personal differences or emotions from the past get in the way. And that's, you know, every one of your listeners knows that to be true, because those that have made the mistake of making a belief bigger than the big picture have paid the price for it. So, you know, you see that within a football program, within an athletic department, within a family. And, you know, when you're talking about your survival and your potential as an institution being tied to how strong the conference is, you wouldn't decline a member that's going to bring more credibility and more eyeballs and more history to your conference. So, no, you wouldn't be trapped by the emotions of the past in that case. I think you would be all for it. And I hope that that moment comes, because I think it would make sense ultimately for that university and its fan base, and it certainly would make sense for the rest of the teams in this league.
Well, I agree. I do know a lot of people who do have very strong feelings about it, and ultimately I think they would make the logical choice, but not without a bit of consternation, because the treatment of Fresno State has not been proper, and I don't know if it's in geography or just arrogance, but then again, it was Cal and Stanford's arrogance that caused the implosion, ultimately. The final straw, anyway, of the Pac-12, the original Pac-12. Seems like forever ago that limo Larry Scott was talking about adding Oklahoma and Texas and not being interested in Oklahoma State, and the unbridled arrogance of that particular view of things. And that certainly has been something that has changed 180 degrees for a lot of the schools, that's for sure. All right, Paul, last thing for you. We've talked about this over and over again. You and I will continue, obviously, every Monday, as we have for the last 25-plus years, to talk on a weekly basis about the conference. I've said this, given how this defense played last year, that we are going to see almost invariably games going into the last 5 minutes that you make plays, you win, that half a dozen plays you don't, you lose. Are you anticipating a year where it is going to be edge of your seat last 5 minutes almost all the time, particularly in conference?
We shall see. We shall see. I think, you know, right now, just being here and that news about Logan Mankins is starting to reverberate around Table Mountain Casino here. My phone's blowing up on that. The people are excited, as well they should be, about that game and that moment and what October 10th in Boise State's going to mean. I think right now, you know, the focus for this team is getting through fall camp healthy, figuring out who your quarterback is. That defense is going to be special. I mean, that's a given. You have a proven coordinator who's done it at every stop. You know, we had Nick Benedetto here earlier. Fans will get to listen to that interview a little later on, but talking about when he was the DC at Northern Illinois and they knocked off Notre Dame, right? The same kind of opportunity this Bulldog team's going to have at USC. And I'm sure none of the players or coaches are going to give the Trojans any bulletin board material, but they're going to be zeroed in on that game, and they're going to go into that game believing they can win. And that's game one, and you go from there. But the mentality is they were one of the best defenses in the country last year. They expect to be again this year. Talked to offensive coordinator Josh Davis earlier, and, you know, he was real clear. He had three things. Ball security is an obvious one for the Bulldog fans who watched last year's team. Sustaining drives, you know, the third down efficiency, going to be critical. But the other thing that Coach Davis said, in fact, he volunteered this before anything else, and again, listeners can hear that a little bit later on. He said that the offense needs to be better with situational play calling. So, you know, he was putting the onus on himself to have a feel based on personnel, matchups, situations, the right play to call. And I thought that was refreshing to hear that, you know, you'll hear some coaches say, well, we called the right play and execute it. And that happens in a game. But, no, he was saying, I'm going to get better at my feel for calling the right play at the right time. You are going to see an offense that takes better care of the ball, that is better at keeping the offense on the field and converting those third downs. And it's going to be fun to see if this team can make that happen, including that big opportunity, huge challenge. You know, the financial difference between resources invested at USC and Fresno State, that's a bigger chasm than has ever existed before. But when they line up on the field at the Coliseum and the red wave is down there, they're going to see a team game. And if the team that Fresno State puts on the field is better than the perceived sum of its parts, you know, based on recruiting rankings and all that and money invested, that upset I don't think is too far-fetched. And I think those are the moments that Bulldog fans live for. They've got nothing to lose, everything to gain. It's going to be an incredible way to launch into this Pac-12 era of Fresno State sports.
September 4. Can hardly wait. All appreciate it. And the thing you mentioned, the start is where we'll end, and that is the fact that both quarterbacks are there today, which is something you don't see every day, and it tells you how healthy the competition is, and those interviews will be coming up. All appreciate it. I hope you guys have a great 3 hours, and I'll certainly be in touch, my friend. Take care.
All right, Tony. We'll see you.
All right, guys. Live and direct from Table Mountain, Paul Leppler. Come back, tell you about the schedule. We'll hit the break at the top of the hour, and then from 1 to 4:10 to the Giant pregame in Kansas City, it will be Paul and Phil and Gonzo and some of the guests from this morning, and the coaching staff, and then players this afternoon. Take a break. Come back. Bulldog Hour continuing on this Monday on Central Valley Sports Leader, 1430 ESPN. Welcome back. Are we coming back to the Beach Boys? Is that what's going on?
I just had to.
Thanks. Okay. Yeah, you know what? They got in so much trouble with that song because it was completely misunderstood. You aware of that, Gonzo?
I'm not aware of that.
They were talking about everybody they wish every, you know what, I'm going to get.
I was going to say, is this a 3 a.m. conversation, Tony?
No, it's not 3 a.m. conversation. It is what I'm saying is this. What they were trying to say was they wish everybody was housed in California, not a preference to, although it would have been right to say it the other way. And you know what? I'm really getting deep into this. So it's quicksand. The more you struggle, the quicker you go down. I'm just going to pretend I never said it. I'm just going to say let's get on with the schedules and hand it off to you guys for 3 hours while I go back into whatever game it is that I hang out in. All right. Thanks, by the way, to Gonzo on the board. He, Paul, and Phil coming up the full 3 hours from Table Mountain. Thanks to Paul. Thanks to Garrett Classy. Want to tell you guys about the upcoming schedule right now, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his great business, Precision Civil Engineering. Planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management. It's all there under one roof. More information, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net. The upcoming schedule, and by the way, we commend Ed for the fundraising he does through the Lyles College of Engineering, where the goal is to unify athletics and academics to provide more funding resources to students. It's worked beautifully over the years. All right, coming up, 3 hours from Table Mountain, the players, coaches, everybody with Paul, with Phil, and with Gonzo. Then the Giants, a 410 pre, a 440 first pitch from Kansas City. Over on 790, the A's are in Arizona. They have a 605 pre and a 640 first pitch. We're back with you, regular lineup tomorrow at 2 o'clock, and then the regular schedule will follow after that. The reminders here, thanks, as always, to Joe Crew, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, of course, of the aforementioned Ed Duckle Precision Civil Engineering, to our friends at Breeze Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing, and we will remind you, Gonzo normally 6 a to 9 a with his great show, Valley Rise Show, 6 a to 9 a on 1430. Phil normally 3 to 6 in the afternoon with his great show, Behind the Bench. You can reach both on the Lee's Air Hotline, 559-320-1430. Paul Metters has an outstanding show on Saturday morning from First String Sports on 1430. Central Valley Sports Report, 10 a.m. to noon. Keep in mind that Phil on Thursdays with our good friend Radha Vedekian at Fashion Furniture, El Paso across from River Park. Great conversation of Phil's show, Good Eats as well, and the best furniture you're going to find anywhere. Nothing like it in all of California. Always call that Lee's Air Hotline, 559-320-1430. We are with you at 2 o'clock normally. Today was an exception. 2 o'clock, you can reach me, tdad1@att.net, TDAD, the number 1@att.net. And then finally, everything for the station, 1430 ESPN, Fresno.com. Get the Live Links podcast there. Get the app. Makes it a lot easier to listen. And one more time, get involved with Bulldog Sports Enterprises. If you can, contact Chris or Ryan or Enrique or Nico, anybody at the station, 1430ESPNFresno.com. Stay tuned for the three great hours from Table Mountain. I'll see you guys tomorrow on KFIG Fresno.